Hi, welcome to this week's episode of Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. I'm Letitia, international best-selling author, empowerment coach, jewelry designer, entrepreneur, endometriosis advocate, and of course, podcast host. This week's episode, I wanted to talk about how it's been 2 years since I had the podcast and all of that. But something more pressing has been on my heart, so I will have to save the 2 year celebration until next, as the next episode. But I really wanted to talk to you today is feelings, just endometriosis, just feelings, just how you feel mentally. We've talked about it a little bit before about how endometriosis is mentally draining, and of course, you know, it's physically draining and all of that. But what if your endometriosis on some level is causing you to, let's say, kind of have an attitude in terms of your period? Like, it's not really your periods are kind of bad, but they're like the same as they've been for a while. But you've noticed like your attitude and irritation is getting worse. So, oh my goodness. So, I don't know about any of you, but my period is like, I don't know. My period is the reason I went on the pill. The only reason I went on the pill was killer cramps. And that is the worst. I've had cramps my whole entire period life, which is many, many years. So that is ridiculous. So I have the cramps some months. You know, they're not as bad as others, thank goodness. But I have noticed the last, I don't even know if it's just, I guess I've noticed it more maybe the last few months. Just kind of like, I don't know if hormones shifting, I don't know what it is, but I just kind of figure out, and I mean, it's like, yes, people have PMS and all of that, but I feel like it's just like more intense. Like, you know, you get bloated with PMS, all this stuff. We already have bloating with endometriosis, so. But just in terms of the attitude and all of this, so I feel like it's just so, I don't know. And it could be just because I have so much stuff going on. It seems like it's just whatever. But I just feel like the last 20 months, I have just been so irritated right before my period. And I cannot tell you why. I just know that I am just irritated. Just like right before my period. I know when my period is coming because I keep track of it. We've talked about you should keep track of your period just in case issues change and all of that. At this point, my period is pretty stable. Let's see, it comes, last couple months, it has come twice in the same month. So it came twice in May, came twice in July. So then like May, technically my period did not start in June, but I was still on it in June because it started like May 31st or something like that. And I did the same thing in July, but it's still, you know, averaging the same amount of days. You know, my app tells me how many days my period averages, how many days my cycle averages. So that's fine. The reason I've always kept track of my cycle, honestly, because I am someone, in case you haven't realized, I like to be prepared. I always have been like that. I always like to be prepared. I like to know what's going on. So I just want to be, you know, when is my period coming? Now, yes, of course, my period could come early or come late. But, you know, knowing it's coming in 2 days or something is, you know, lets me know, okay, well, I need to bring my pad. I need to do that. Like, for example, I went out of town. I needed to go out of town for something last weekend. And my period was scheduled to start on Monday. So I was going to be out of town Friday and Saturday. I was going to be out of town, you know, all day Friday and then part of Saturday. So my period was slated to start on Monday. Knowing my cycle and my period and how Mother Nature is, I decided I'm going to bring my pads along just in case. Now, you never know what's going to happen. Never know if it's going to start early. You know, it's better to be prepared and not need it than not be prepared at all. And I know that we have talked about it, but I like to use organic pads. I have actually lately, I don't remember when, a couple months ago probably, actually switched the brand of organic pads that I'm using. Very happy with them. Haven't noticed any irritation. Haven't noticed any itching, anything like that. Really happy with them. Only thing is you don't get that many pads in a package. So organic pads, of course, are a little more expensive. So my wallet's not really enjoying the change, but my body is. And I feel like that really makes a difference in terms of what's going on with you. I feel like your pads, you know, we don't think about, you know, our pads, we just put them on and all of this, but I feel like our pads are like, you know, something important to us. I mean, we have chemicals and different things in them. Some of them have chemicals and all that. They can get, you know, right into our body because they're so close and absorbed, and they get wet and all of this stuff. And so I'm enjoying the new pads that I've switched to. You know, they're just, you know, you get a little less than my other ones. And the reason really that I switched was a couple different reasons. Both companies are female owned, and they are both female owned companies that provide the pads, so that's good. I'm glad to be supporting fellow female owned businesses. And the one that I was going with, first of all, it's just hard to really find them in stores now. Very few stores have them. There's one store that has them, but that store is probably like 20 minutes from me or so. I live like in a metro area that borders two states, so technically the store's in the other state. So like a store in my area does not carry that, and only a particular store carries it, like one store carries it. So my store that's not far from my house used to carry it up until, I'm gonna say, earlier this year, and then they switched them all out, ironically, to the other brand that I use for some reason. And so I'm like, well, I can get the brand that I use now. I wanted to try this brand before, but they had some ingredients in their pad that I was a little leery about. And I just didn't know how that would affect with my body. I have some sensitivities, and so I just didn't know how that would work out. But then they had made some that didn't have that ingredient in it. And so I tried that. And so now it's just so much easier to find and all of that. So I've been using that. And that seems to be working out well for me to do it that way. It's a lot easier to find. It's right up the street. Like I said, only bad thing is if you don't get as many pads. Like, I have to go through, technically I'm buying double pads, honestly, for that. Because the other package, I want to say, had 28, maybe? The other package had 28, and this package, I think, has 12 to 14, but the pads are like night and day. So what I like about the new pads are they're long. I've never seen pads this long. And they actually have wings times two. So I like that about it. The other ones are fine. They just had one wing. They were long. I mean, even their overnights or what you call. But I like how long these new pads are and all of that. Like, again, my wallet's not really liking the change per se. So it's like, but, you know, I try it sometimes, you know, the place has a special or a sale or something. So I just try to stock up on them. But, that's just how it is. I guess being a female is expensive because they jack up the price on pads and all of those essential items that we need. Medicine for a period, all of those crazy things they mark up the price on. So that's, you know, my changing pads are good. I would love to hear how, you know, do any of you use natural pads? If so, have you noticed a difference? Do you use the cup? Now, I've always wanted to use the cup too. I have not tried the cup. Here, the cup can be messy, so I have not really tried the cup, but I would love to try the menstrual cup, and I know so many companies have it, but that is what I would like to try. I know they have so many different products out right now. I have a friend, and we've actually talked about, she's a doula, we've actually talked about different products and all of that, so that I know there's a wide variety of products available on the market at this point, which is good to have variety and all of that. Love the variety, and I'm glad that we have women who are actually making pads, because, you know, women know women, you know what they like and all of that. I'm happy that they're organic, made with organic cotton. I'm not happy that they're more expensive than the other pads that aren't. I mean, you know, that's a whole other conversation, that natural healthy things for our body are more expensive, vitamins, all of those things. So that's, you know, so I've changed pads, that's going well. Just my, you know, just being cranky, irritable before my period is just something new, and I don't know exactly what's going on with it. Something I need to talk to my doctor about, honestly. I don't, it's just here thinking about this, honestly, before recording this, I need to find another gynecologist, one that I like. I don't currently have a gynecologist. I did, you know, I went to one earlier this year, in January. Was not a good fit. Did not like her attitude, honestly. With endometriosis, every time you go to the doctor, you try to be honest about having endometriosis, they always want to put you on medication. I'm not trying to go on birth control. I'm not trying to go on your shot. I'm not trying to go on your other medication, all that stuff that you have. And I think I talked about this when I questioned her about the side effects. She was just like really smug and talking about the same thing happens to you when you're pregnant. Well, I'm not pregnant. So, you know, I don't know where that comes into play. But she just had a real nasty attitude. As in, she was like offended, I guess, that I had researched the medicine or knew about the medicine. Which, that's not going to fly with me because I ask questions, I research, I have dialogue back and forth with my doctors. So that relationship, or having a relationship with that doctor and having her as my gynecologist, is not going to work. So I'm back to the drawing board of trying to find a good gynecologist who's not going to try to put me on medication, who's not going to try to argue with me about not wanting to be on medication, who's not going to suggest a hysterectomy, and just all this other stuff. I want to do things naturally, and I need a doctor who respects that. And I'm starting to think that there may not be a gynecologist in my area that respects that at this point. There are a lot of gynecologists, I assume, but based on the ones I have met and different things, they're not really, really open to that. Now, here's another thing. So I had my previous gynecologist that did my surgery. I had her for years, okay? Now, she didn't start turning funky until after the surgery. So, it goes to show you sometimes you can have a doctor who is just fine for seeing you. Well, she won't do anything about my she wouldn't do anything about my fibroids either, but there could be a doctor who's fine with seeing you, but as soon as you have an issue or something happens and you disagree with what they want you to do, then there becomes an issue. As long as I was on the pill, you know, for my periods and nothing was, you know, going on, then she was fine because I was doing per se what she wanted me to do. Now, the minute that I did not want to get back on medication and all of this, didn't want to have a hysterectomy, all of that, then we have an issue. So it's kind of just crazy that it's all about what they think you should do and you shouldn't research it or have an opinion. And I'm not that type of person. I always, always, always have an opinion about every situation, especially when it comes to my health. So back to the drawing board on that. I think we've talked about that too. Did not go back to the endometriosis specialist only because they want to do another surgery. And it's like I'm not having any issues besides bowel endometriosis to warrant another surgery. So they want to do another surgery to see where the bowel endometriosis is. And then I'd have to go in again to do, you know, to get the see if the bowel endometriosis could even be removed. So it's like technically I'd have to have two surgeries. I'd have to have another laparoscopic procedure and another one. And as we know, with every procedure, there's a risk. So the risk would be, you know, I could get scar tissue. You know, there's a chance I develop scar tissue the first time, but then there's scar tissue. Well, more incisions, so I'm gonna have more scars. My first surgery went well. What if it didn't go well this time? Just a lot of time, travel, effort. As I stated, the doctor is not in my city nor my state. So I have to drive 4 hours away. So to have the surgery, honestly, is going to cost me a lot of time and money. I would have to go for a follow-up appointment 4 hours away. Depending on when they could get me in. I'd have to go for that, so that's 8 hours gone right then, just gone, 8 hours, 8 hours in the car, just gone, and then I would have to, then they schedule the surgery, and, you know, depending on when the surgery is, probably would have to stay the night before, like, if it's an early surgery, like, my surgery, last time I had to be at the hospital at 6, so it's, like, that's a lot of driving and all of that. So I probably would have to, if it was an early morning surgery, potentially I'd probably have to spend the night before. And then I don't know if I would really want to be in the car for 4 hours right after surgery. I remember I was in the car after my first surgery, went to where did I go? Oh, I went to get my medication. So, I did not drive. So, my ride, you know, took me and picked me up. I stayed there. They took me to get my medication because they could give me medication, my pain medication in case I needed it. Did not take any pain medication, but I, you know, didn't know if I needed it or not. Never had surgery that was so personal and didn't know what the pain would be like. So, did all of that, so I was in the car, maybe, I don't know, I don't even know if we were in the car an hour, maybe, because then I think then we went to the, because I had to get my medication, or whatever, from the grocery store. I picked up a few additional things that I needed, they talked about. So, I think I was in the car maybe an hour, possibly from after surgery, because the hospital was a little ways away. And just all of that. And, you know, going to the store, the store's a little far away, all of that. So that was, I mean, I feel like I was just ready to lay down at that point. So that was an hour. So I can't imagine having to leave right after and having to go back home. I mean, there are other ways, you know, technically to get there. You know, my doctor's like, well, you could fly. Or I'm like, yeah, I could fly. The turbulence would be annoying, but yeah, I could fly. I wouldn't want to do the train because the train is hecka long and just real. I wouldn't want to do the train after surgery because the train is really long. It takes longer to get back home. It's more than 4 hours. And the train is really bumpy, which after surgery, the last thing I want to do is have bumps. So technically, looking at surgery, we've got 4 hours drive time there, 4 hours drive time back, possibly two nights of hotel room. You know, if we did the flight, then we've got hotel, then we've got airfare and all of that. Or, you know, take the train there, drive back something, I don't know. But it's just a lot of time, money, and effort for that, and you don't even know where it is or what can be done about it. So haven't done that. Still, so, you know, so that appointment with the colorectal specialist did not, you know, wasn't able to see where my bowel endometriosis was because there were no pictures taken. So that's why I'd have to go have this additional laparoscopic procedure to see where it was. So the doctor talked about it, but didn't actually take pictures or describe in detail where it was for it to be removed by someone else, which I feel like is very, very, very unprofessional. But I just feel like we go through so many things emotionally with having endometriosis, period, that it doesn't necessarily deal with our period, but it is something that we should address. Just even, you know, bloating. Notice sometimes, different times, I'm just really, really bloated. And I honestly am bloated so bad, sometimes I look pregnant. Thank goodness no one said anything to me about it. But I know and feel bloated. So it's like it kind of plays a role in what to wear, you know, what do I want to do, and all of that. And I don't know. Like a lot of times, as women, we already, you know, feel like we've got to look a certain way and this and that. And so having endometriosis sometimes does not help with feeling and or looking bloated. And just everything that goes into it. I know that I ended up having to go to, I talked about going to an event last Friday. I was not really in, I was really, really bloated too. I was really not in the dress. I wasn't really in the mood per se to wear a dress. But it was an occasion that called for, you know, I feel like it called for a dress, and it was really, really hot. So I did wear a dress, but, you know, my whole thing is like, oh, I'm bloated, this, that, and the other. And it's like, it's just something to take into consideration. I mean, no one else probably knew that I was just like, I'm feeling bloated and all this, and no one else probably knew per se that I was feeling that way. Or that I, you know, I mean, I could have probably worn pants, but I just felt like it was hot. It was an occasion for a dress. It's just something, you know, to wear and all of that. But, I mean, it's fine. We have different things we have to do. We're endo warriors. We know we have to do certain things. And the dress, you know, honestly, probably was the best option. Because it gave some leeway to being bloated, where the pants could have been, you know, kind of restrictive, or, you know, you've got more things against your skin, and just all of that. Those are just all the things that we have to think about. Is it touching my skin? Is it making me more irritated? And just, does it hurt? All of those things. But that's just one of the many things that goes on, you know, with endometriosis. It's just clothing, eating, all of this stuff. Man, I feel like so my probably TMI, but that's okay. My bowel endometriosis, I always feel like is worse right before my period and during my period. But it's like this month, it's been, well, I guess we're in September, so I should say last part of August, beginning of September, so like period week, and even some after, like my bowels have been like horrible, and it's like I'm trying really hard to figure out what is going on with it. It's like, I don't feel like I'm eating a lot of things that trigger, you know, sometimes things trigger it, and so I'm cautious of that. I'll be like, okay, we can't eat this and that, that's going to cause a problem, especially if I have to go somewhere. But I just feel like I have constant bloating lately all the time, and it's not fun, and, you know, maybe that leads to irritation and all of that. But it's just one more thing I feel like we have to deal with as being endo warriors, is just having endo belly, which is like the worst, I feel like. One of the worst things is endo belly. Also, I realized that even though we all are endo warriors and have our own unique story that everyone should hear, sometimes the way that we address or think about issues is not, like sometimes we may not always think about others when we're addressing questions. I tell this all the time. I'm in a lot of groups on Facebook. I need to create my own, honestly. Well, I have my own, I just need to promote it. But I was in a Facebook group and a lady was truly asking for some information. She, you know, was asking, you know, she said she'd had a laparoscopic procedure and she just really was still in pain and just didn't know what to do. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of us can relate to being in a lot of pain. Maybe surgery was helpful, maybe it wasn't. But just some of the answers that she received, especially from the person in charge of the group, just blew my mind in terms of just lack of caring, it seems like. It's like, you have endometriosis as well. It's not like she's asking you a question you don't know the answer to, or you can't help her in that way. So I technically did not have a lot of pain after surgery, and I stated that. But I did give some tips on, you know, talking to the doctor. You know, what could she say to the doctor? She needs to go see the doctor. What can she ask about? You know, different things, different options, all of this. And I feel like we need to be more open and not just feel like we can't share information with people unless they pay us for it, because I really feel like that's really what it came down to for the lady. I feel like she just really wanted to be paid for her, you know, information. And I don't feel that way at all. I feel like if you can help someone, help them. Help them based on the type of person that you are. Don't always expect someone to pay you for your knowledge. Yes, if someone keeps asking you things over and over and over again, then yes, possibly we need to have a conversation. You need to become a client, all of that. But if it's not like they're just asking you for help and all of that, and you can help them, just help them. I was just really frustrated and irritated by it. I feel like it was just, honestly, in my mind, I feel like it was ridiculous. We are all in this together. We don't have a cure, so I feel like we need to help each other with the information that we know. That's just how I feel. I give out information. I mean, I don't feel like you should, I don't know, we're talking about someone's health, and I feel like health is like so important. Honestly, I'm very passionate about it. People tell me all the time when they hear me talk about endometriosis, they can hear the passion in my voice. So it's honestly something I'm very passionate about. But it's someone's life and health we're talking about. We can't just be not sharing what we know or trying to help them. If someone comes to you for help about it, you can't just like brush them off, I feel like. I gave my answer, you know, gave some advice, you know, and said, if you need something, reach out. You have additional questions, something, reach out. I'm not trying to sell you. I don't have, you know, anything to gain by helping you. That's not why I do the podcast. It's not why I do speaking events. Not why I, you know, write books. To educate. All my missions to educate and bring awareness to endometriosis. And I do that through speaking engagements. Do that through this podcast. And do it through books. Okay? So print. So print, media, and voice. So, I mean, if, you know, I have books out. If you'd like to buy a book, awesome, amazing. I love the support. Thank you so much. I wanted to do coaching. If you'd like to book me to be your coach, thank you. I appreciate it. We will make sure that you get everything that you need and help you through this process. You're going to book me for a speaking engagement. Thank you. I appreciate it. You and your audience will definitely learn how to advocate for yourself and your health. And you will, you know, definitely learn some tips and tricks. So I do have other things that I can, you know, be booked for and all of that. But it's not my main motivation. Like, I don't go out saying, oh, I need to get new clients today. I need to sell so many books and all of that. I'm just not that type of person. I'm not driven by that. I don't say I'm not going to help someone unless they buy my products. I feel like that's just, or they hire me. I just feel like that's not the way it goes. No. If someone buys it, I'm happy. I'm grateful. Don't think I'm not. But I just feel like there's a time and a place for that. We are, you know, if we're in a forum for endometriosis and someone's asking a question, I don't feel like that is the time to be selling, I'm a coach, I'm an author, I'm a speaker, I'm a podcast host, I'm a whatever. I don't think that's the time. So they're asking a question in terms of that. Now, if it comes down to further on in the conversation, maybe you can, but I don't feel like we throw that out at the beginning. I don't anyway. I don't feel like we should be throwing that out at the beginning. That has nothing to do with the question. And yes, probably, yes, she could get a coach, but that's still not going to help her answer her question that she has right this minute. So I feel like we've kind of gotten away from wanting to help people just in general. And just become more of pay me, pay me, pay me, pay me, pay me for my services and knowledge. Which on some level, you know, you should be paid for your service and knowledge. But I don't feel like it's something you should push or something that you need to do like constantly. So that's just my thoughts on the situation. But otherwise, I feel like my endometriosis is not really giving me issues except for, you know, still having bowel endometriosis and the bloating. That's to be expected, I guess. But other than that, you know, I can't say I'm feeling bad, anything like that. Vitamins, I feel like vitamins are just so helpful. And, you know, trying to keep up on vitamins. Still a work in progress on the water. Trying to do more self-care is really, really where it is. I feel like take time for yourself, whatever you need to do or want to do to relax you. I've tried some self-care. I'm better than I used to be. I've gotten some time in. Binge watched a TV show, a new TV show actually, I found on streaming. And watched that, was that a couple weeks ago probably, so I did that. So I watched a little TV, and what else did I do? Oh, when I was out of town, I was able to get in the hot tub for a little bit, so that was a good time. Loved the hot tub, very relaxing. Tried to just do whatever you can, if it's take a nap, whatever it is, just try to do it. So whatever you can do to relax yourself, hey, do it. It's like whatever you need to do to relax, just do it. Do that. It's all about self-care. My friends talked to me about it for a while, and I'm just like, self-care. But it does make a difference. So, just, that is so important. You don't want to get burned out. You don't want to be stressed. And I feel like this pandemic by itself probably is very stressful to a lot of people. And then add on endometriosis, all this other stuff. Then it's just like, wow. And sometimes I feel, I don't know about any of you guys, but I feel like also I am the person that people reach out to sometimes if they have an issue. So I also feel like, you know, you have that going on. So that's a lot to handle as well sometimes, depending on what it is. So you've got your issues, you're hearing someone else about their issues, wanting to, you know, even if it's just listen and all of that. So you definitely need time to decompress, relax, all of that. I feel like a nap is so nice, but hardly ever able to get one in. Like when, even when I turn my phone off, somehow calls or whatever get through, or the neighbors are loud, or they're cutting grass, or something's going on. So I feel like the universe does not like me taking naps. It's just ridiculous. But, you know, that's one of the things I like to do. I like to listen to music. So, you know, chill out, listen to music. We talked about the hot tub. Occasionally, you know, I watch movies on streaming, you know, movies, TV shows like that. Not too often. I'm not a big TV or movie person. I'm more into music. You know, I'll read sometimes. When I'm, it's just like, just whatever you like to do. Like, I love listening to music in the car. That helps me. It's just whatever, you know, helps you. Also, I feel like sometimes, you know, self-care could be, another self-care I've been trying to do more often is massage. Massage does wonders for you. I mean, it's so helpful. Massage is amazing. Also, do go to the chiropractor, that helps as well. So I feel like massage, chiropractor, I feel like that's self-care. I mean, hey, self-care is everything. Even keeping, you know, being whatever you want to be, you know, like going to the, you know, for some people, self-care is going to the gym. Some is, you know, keeping their appearance up. You know, some people feel like self-care is going to the salon, you know, getting their hair done, getting their nails done, getting waxes, whatever it is for you. I mean, I do feel like that's something, you know, we sometimes neglect ourselves. So sometimes we may not always go and get our hair done, get our nails done, you know, whatever we want to do. We're busy doing other things. And that's one thing, you know, I try to do as well, is just like try to keep up those different routines. I, you know, I've been getting a massage. I've been getting my hair done. You know, I haven't. First off, I have been trying to let my hair grow, do all of this stuff. So I've been doing protective styling and all of that. So I've been trying to, you know, I've been doing wearing braids. So I like, you know, get those done, you know, when they need to be done. I've been doing some things, you know, self-care, different things like that. I try to, you know, you just want to make sure that you're always looking and feeling your best. And I feel like self-care and whatever you can do, whatever you like doing, you know, maybe you don't like, you know, getting your nails done. I like getting my nails done. I just don't ever go do it. I just feel like it's something either I don't have time for, or sometimes, you know, I just don't want to spend the money on it. I'm like, you know, I can do it at home, but I never do. So it's all a matter of what, you know, what you like and what makes you feel better. So self-care is so, so, so important. Some people journal. I don't journal that often. I've journaled before, but I'm not big on journaling. I feel like this podcast on some level is my journal. I'm going to write some things down, but I normally don't journal like that. So, man, find you a self-care ritual and stick to it, and however often you have to do it. Like, I would love, you know, I would love to, I would love like a hot tub, honestly. You know, that's really what I would love. I mean, I feel like, you know, a bath is nice too, but there is something about a hot tub that's just amazing to me. I mean, it's just like full, like you just get to sit there and relax. It's just amazing. The hot tub is like my favorite. And I see over with a lot of people, like I have a couple friends I've seen over since the pandemic, they have decided to invest and have gotten themselves a hot tub, which is amazing, good for them. And I'm thinking, yes, that is goal. Goal is to get a hot tub so I can have that relaxing feeling more than I have now. I gotta get in the hot tub, but I don't get in there as much as I would like to, just based on time, and I don't have a hot tub, so, you know, that's the issue as well. But find something that you like to do, and go from there, whatever it may be. Maybe it's just reading, maybe it's watching your favorite TV show, all of that. It's, you know, I used to, you know, have some favorite TV shows that I used to watch, but I don't know, lately, just, I mean, the last probably couple of years, this TV has not, I mean, I'll watch it every now and then, like, if sports are on, or something I want to see, I'll watch it. Most of the time, my TV is off, honestly. I just not been in the TV a lot lately, but, you know, that's just me, personally. Whatever works for you. I know a lot of people like coffee, or have a morning ritual. Whatever works for you to do your self-care. But that, I wanted also briefly want to talk about, I am going to talk about things I did not talk about this week. Talk about 2 years of the podcast. Yay! So exciting. 2 years for the podcast. And I also want to talk about, still have not talked about that. Let's talk about that at some point. Still have to talk about my new book and how it's doing, because we have not talked about it. So this is collaborative book number 3. We'll talk about that. Hopefully I can talk about that in the next episode. And I'm hoping that I'll get to talk about some more amazing things coming up. I'm going to try to, you know, stay on schedule. And I can't believe there are only so many weeks left in this year, because we're already in the second month of quarter 3. Hard to believe. Wow, time is just flying by. So that's all I have for this episode of Endometriosis Journey the Butterfly. But I will be back with a new episode on Saturday, September 18th at 12:45 p.m. Central Standard Time. Man, the next episode is going to be on the 18th. September is going to be more than halfway over then. Dang, that's going to be crazy. But I will definitely see you then. We'll talk about the anniversary of the show. We'll talk about another anniversary that I have. And hopefully we can talk about the book, but we'll talk about it all sooner rather than later. Hope you have an amazing day. Please stay safe. Please stay healthy. And I will see you soon. Bye.